Well, today I want to continue along what the Lord was talking about, because the other day He called you the bold and the beautiful. Praise the Lord, the bold and the beautiful. Hallelujah. I love how that just goes together. You know, in all my years of preaching and ministry, I've never had the Lord say that to me. But that's how the Lord sees you, bold and beautiful. Hallelujah. So I hope last night you got some boldness, you got some throw your shoulders back, lift your head up a little bit higher to walk through life confidently, most assured that God is with us. Hallelujah. That you can be brave, that you can be courageous. Hallelujah. Anybody wake up that way other than me? Anybody besides me wake up? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today I want to talk to you about the other side of how God sees you, and that is beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Look at another neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Look at yourself and say, I'm beautiful. You know, truly the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so it's really, really important that about how we perceive ourselves, how we see ourselves, our attitude. Come on, ladies. We have to have a good attitude about ourselves, because it's very important, because how we see ourselves, how we perceive ourselves, think of ourselves, talk of ourselves is really where we live from. I always say that the most dominant image in your heart is what drives you. That's what you walk from. And so we have to understand how God sees us so that we can agree with God. Did you know that the main thing about the faith life is agreeing with God? And we have to agree about God, not just about other people, but about ourselves. Hallelujah. And God sees you as beautiful. And so we need to understand that we are beautiful. You know, it's been said, there's a common saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Have you ever heard that? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and we're beautiful in God's eyes, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 139:14 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everyone here, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made by God the Creator, and He created you for Himself. He created you unto Himself. He created you in His image. And so therefore, we need to love ourselves. And I'm not talking today about a prideful love. Really, pride is outside of God, and pride is really never inward. Pride is always a facade.
Yeah, it is.
Usually the most prideful people are the most insecure on the inside. And it's a facade. It's a persona that they push from the outside. But we do need to love ourselves.
Yes.
If we're going to live this love life with God, we have to know how much God loves us. And because we're worthy of God's love, because of the blood of Jesus, we're worthy of God's love. That means we should love ourselves. And you know, none of us here have a problem at all knowing the scripture, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, that says we are to love your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so it seems easy to do that, right? When we think about God, it's so easy to love God. It's so easy to put our faith in that command and find ourselves living out of that place, that I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love Him with everything I am, with all that I have. I'm going to love Him with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I always think of strength, meaning even some outward things that we outwardly, you know, when we worship, we don't just stand and like, I mean, it's like sometimes it's so, there's got to have an outlet of an expression of it coming. That's why I believe running and dancing and shouting and all the things of the Bible, lifting our hands and clapping unto the Lord and stomping our feet, all those things, that they're a way for us to show the strength of our love toward God. It's so easy to love God. But the scripture after that, after about loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, scripture number 31 says this, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And so many times what happens, we get in the kingdom and we're loving God. God saves us. It's miraculous. We're coming out of darkness into the light. We're recognizing that God is going to be good to us and everything about God is wonderful. And so I'm going to love God. And then we begin to follow Jesus and we get planted in the church and we begin to learn some things about the word. And then we get focused on the love walk toward others. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, we got to do that. Real important that we learn to love others, that we see God in others, that love covers a multitude of sins, all right? Love never gets offended. Love never gets upset. Love never has its feelings hurt. Come on, I'm talking about us, the church, because the love of God, that is the love of God, and the love of God is in us. And so we get real concerned, and we're applying our effort toward loving people, and we should. But it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So to me, there's an insinuation there that really before we can love other people properly, we have to love ourselves. And so really, I have found that if we don't love ourselves, if we have dislikes about ourselves, if there's internal things about ourselves, really we reflect that and we live out of that and we find that it's more difficult. If you're not loving yourself on the inside, you're going to be more easily offended about other people because you're just so not confident in here. About love and loving yourself. And so we need to learn to love ourselves. I always say we learn to love God, but then next we learn to love ourselves. You need to begin to see yourself as God sees yourself. Call yourself as God sees yourself. And so there's this whole thing about learning to love ourselves. And it's very vital to this life that we have with the Lord. And so we know that with God, right, there's only beauty. Everyone in here could say that God is beautiful. Could we say that? I mean, can we say that with an assurity in our heart? There's no one here that's thinking God is not beautiful. Just God is beautiful. But when we talk about God and the beauty of God, it's very interesting because nobody in this room has seen God in a bodily form. No one has seen God from an outward appearance. And so when we talk about the beauty of God, we're talking about who God is on the inside. Yes. We're talking about His beauty from the place of His spirit. We're talking about the beauty from the place of His essence. We're talking about the beauty from the place of His nature and His character. And so we have to learn when we're talking about beauty in the earth, and I'm talking today to a lot of ladies here, we have to come outside of this world thinking that beauty is on the outside. Come on, I'm going to free you up today because I want you to know that no matter what your outside looks like, you are beautiful in the sight of God. Because when you're born again, your spirit comes alive and instantly the glory of God is deposited on the inside of you and you are made into a new and a beautiful creation. Look at your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Tap yourself and say, I'm beautiful. Hallelujah. Everything about God is beautiful. As a matter of fact, I love reading the account of creation in the very beginning because after God made everything and He made Adam and Eve, we don't know what they looked like. Remember, beauty is in the sight of the beholder. We're all made in the image of God. When we get to heaven, there's no telling what things will really look like. But when God got through with all of creation, it said He looked around and He called it good. He called it very good. So when God looks at you, He thinks very good. He sees His creation and He says very good. He doesn't think, oh, I have frizzy hair and I don't like it. He doesn't look at you and think your body shape is. You know, I remember years ago in my first years of being spirit filled and coming into this different aspect or another, I would say, level of a life with God being spirit filled. And one day I was in my house and I was sitting and I was doing something and all of a sudden I just had this thought about myself, about something particular about my body. And the thought came across, I didn't even say it, the thought came across my mind, I don't like that. And when I said that, God said to me, did I make a mistake? And I was sitting in my chair, but I kind of like backed up. No, sir. He said, I made you that way. See, we can't be putting emphasis on the outward things. Now, I'm not talking about not taking care of what you have. I'm not talking about, you know, and if I get to it, maybe I will, maybe I won't. If I don't finish it today, I'll do it at the next women's meeting. But we can't be so focused on the outside. Okay? It doesn't mean that God is saying don't wear a certain type of hair. You know, some people go the way extreme. And they look at the one that says, don't let your adornment be outward only. And it talks about jewelry and hair. And then some people think, oh, we're not supposed to do anything with our hair. We're not supposed to wear any makeup or any jewelry. That's not what it's saying. It actually mentions clothes, fine apparel. And you know that we all have to wear clothes. We don't let the clothes go just because that we're not. Well, what it's talking about is not letting your identity. But we do want to take care of what God has given us out of respect for others. Out of respect, I do respect and appreciate when you comb your hair that you don't roll out of bed. And I do appreciate that because there's something about taking care. We are reflecting God. And so we want to take care of what we have, but where our identity and really our beauty is tied nothing to the outward man. And we have to understand that really we're coming into this thing with God where he's making us. The Bible says that when we receive Jesus, that we're formed in his image. And so the very essence of us begins to be beautiful because it's God that gives us breath. It's God that gives us life. It's God that gives us purpose. It's God that gives us worth. We don't get our worth from anyone, anything, any outward thing. There's nothing about me that makes me worthy. There's nothing about you that makes you worthy except the love of God and that Jesus shed his life. Hallelujah. And so we have to understand that really beauty is from within. And the Bible actually says that as we behold Jesus, so there is a way, even though we don't see Jesus with our eye, there is a way to behold Jesus, who he is, the essence of who he is. We see him walking the earth. Who was he? How did he act? And we see him today as the risen Lord seated upon the throne. And the Bible says that as we behold him, that we are being changed. Yes. So on the inside, even though we're instantly made beautiful, the beauty within us just tends to intensify and begins to radiate and come out as we're changed from glory to glory. That initial deposit of glory, as we learn to walk with the Lord and live with God and submit ourselves and adhere to the Word and have a life in the Spirit, the beauty of the Lord just continues to change us and change us and change us so that so much more where we're not seeing the character of Tanya. We're not seeing the nature of Tanisha. No, we're seeing God. We're seeing Jesus. When we look at each other, that's what we're working for. That's where our beauty is coming from, yes. Is the inward place that God puts himself in us and that we're able to be changed. So the Lord is who gives beauty for ashes. The Lord is what takes the old dirt of our life, hallelujah, and washes us up and makes us clean and shiny and pure and holy and gentle and loving and kind. And it is such a beautiful thing that the Spirit of God in us and the Spirit of God on us causes us to be a beautiful reflection of the beautiful Lord that we know, that we love, that we serve, hallelujah. And so God doesn't look, I think Reverend Annie mentioned a couple of the scriptures last night. I love how God weaves things together. But God really doesn't look upon our outward man. He's not looking upon our outward man. He's looking upon our heart. We see that in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, when the Lord was choosing who was going to be the anointed king. And the priest at that time was bringing before him all of the ones that had the outward appearance, the ones that looked like they had it together, the ones that looked strong in stature. They had the right looks on the outside, and the Lord would say, no, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. And then he actually made that statement that God doesn't look at outward man. He doesn't look at the outward man as the world does or as most men do. And so we have to be careful as Christians to not get caught up in even that. When we see someone and they might look weird, they might look different. We can't go there and have a preconception or a thought. Instead, what we need to think is, first of all, are they saved? Has the beauty of the Lord come upon them in the inside? And we need to treat them as such. so that we're not getting caught up in this outward thing of judging people and even judging ourselves by the outward appearance. I had a revelation many years ago. Some of you have heard it. One day I was sitting in my chair at my home, and I was just kind of studying and praising the Lord. And all of a sudden the Lord said that he was talking about me, and then he was talking about the church. And he said that we need to stop regarding ourselves or knowing ourselves by the flesh.
Yes.
Remember, there's a scripture that says to know no man by the flesh. And so when I had always looked at that scripture, I'd always talked about other people. I got it. I'm supposed to know Brittany by her spirit. I know Denise by her spirit, not by the flesh, not by the outward, the personality. And I'd always, you know, worked, endeavored to do that. But the Lord said to me, he said, well, you're a man, aren't you? And instantly, I just recognize how, as our own self, we know ourselves. When we think of ourselves, when we look in the mirror, we look at the flesh. We look at the outward things. And the Lord told me, he said, this is a problem in the church. He said, the church needs to stop knowing themselves by the flesh. Why? Because what you perceive and how you see yourself and how you self-talk and what you think is what you become. And so in the world, they're always telling you, identify your problems, study your problems, talk about your problems so that you can change. But that's not how it works. In the Bible, it's like, look at the right thing. Look at the Word of God. Look at who Jesus is, and then become like that. Become like that as you're living that, saying that, believing that. Move more. Like, if you have a problem being kind, you don't need to talk to yourself about how unkind you are and what you can do to change your... You need to get in the presence of God and think about how kind and how loving and good He is, and begin to call yourself kind, and you'll find that you'll end up living out of kindness. Hallelujah. But I want to remind you that beauty comes from within. So when we're talking about a person knowing their beauty, being able to say, I'm beautiful, it comes from someone who knows God inside.
Yes.
We need to know God inside. And as we know God inside, then we can see the beauty of God that's in us. Know Christ who is in us. Christ, the hope of glory, is in us. And so beauty, true beauty, it's God who gives true beauty. He gives true beauty because he makes us, the Bible says that we're a masterpiece. We're not just something that's thrown together. God has intimately made you. And I'm always thrilled that each person is so unique.
Yes.
Handcrafted by the master. It made beautiful for everything to come together. Everything about you was in God's creation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A masterpiece. And that there never, ever has been another you. Even if you have a twin. You know it. You don't always think exactly the same. You don't. No, no, no. You might have your own style of clothing that you like. There's nothing about you that... Nobody is exactly the same. So there's never, ever been another you, and there never, ever will be another you. And you're beautiful, made in the image of God. True beauty comes from within. And this is where we're to have our focus. This is where we're to have our definition of our worth in God, how God loves us. So Proverbs 31 says, turn with me there. I haven't even had you. I've been quoting scriptures, but I haven't had you turn there. That last scripture about not regarding anyone in the flesh is 2 Corinthians 5:16. And you need to meditate on that. You need to meditate on that. Learn to love yourself. See the beauty. See the qualities of God. The Bible says that as we're saved, we take on the very nature of God and the character of God. Proverbs 31, verse 30. So true beauty is from the inner man. Look what it says here. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord comes from the inside. It's not an outward event. It's something from the inside. It's about a life with God. It's about living a life with God, submitted to God, yielded to God. Charm is deceitful, and I wrote in my Bible here, an outward and external beauty is passing. And so really the church needs to have the proper definition and see beauty in the proper light, because this will cause us to place an emphasis on the right thing and not pursue something worldly or not pursue things that really lead to nothing. The world's definition of beauty really produces nothing. The world's beauty definition of beauty is useless. It's all things that will pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, turn with me there. I'm just trying to remind you this morning of how beautiful you are. Because the Lord did call you the bold and the beautiful. And when the Lord calls us something, again, we need to identify that, take that upon, so that we can cultivate that and walk that out. There's no one in this room that is more beautiful than another. And that's what I love about why we don't have to have any comparison in the body of Christ. Because again, we're all different. We're all distinct. We're all unique. I will never be you. You will never be me. You shouldn't want to be me. I don't want to be you. Hallelujah. It's just better if we're like the bracelet said. Who won the BU bracelet? Who won the BU? Lisa won the who? Somebody won the BU bracelet. Lisa won the BU. Just be you, Lisa. Just be you. We're better if everybody can be you and understand who you are, how beautiful you are. Then when we come together, it's just a beautiful thing. It's like an orchestra. You know, every instrument comes together and every single instrument is different. The flute doesn't sound like the harp, doesn't sound like the violin, doesn't sound like the guitar, doesn't sound. And they each have a distinct sound. And when they're separate, they're beautiful. They can put a beautiful sound. But when they come together and they know their place and they know their part, and the violin isn't trying to play the same beat as the guitar, and the guitar is not trying to flow like the piano is, when they all know their part and the beauty of that instrument. And so you're an instrument in the hands of God, created by God for Him, for His glory. And if we can just take on recognizing how beautiful to God we are, how beautiful we are in the body of Christ, then we can all come together, take our place. We can stand next to each other. We're not looking. We're not coveting. We're not jealous. Come on. We're not competing. We don't have to have any of that in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are all beautiful and we just come together. And it's so beautiful to God. It's so beautiful. It really would be beautiful to the world. That's why we don't live our issues on Facebook. That's why the church doesn't fight on Facebook. If you got something that you really have to say, if it's not on your page, I say don't even say it. They have a right to their own opinion, but if you got something that's going to, don't let the whole world see us air our laundry out about what we, how we're different or we don't agree. Come on, we're supposed to be being a witness to those that are around, that the world should be thinking there's something beautiful, because those people can all come together, love each other, see the value in one another. Come on, God snuck a little correction in there, didn't He? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, do not lose heart. And it tells you right here what's going to cause you to lose heart. Even though your outward man is perishing. So if you get too focused on your outward man, if you begin to find your identity, if you begin to you know, let how you feel about yourself be based on your outward looks, the Lord is always already telling you that the outward man is perishing. The outward man is going to change, just like the inward man is changing from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. We're getting bigger and better. The outward man is saying, I'm perishing. You know why? Because I'm just passing through this earth life. The Lord wants us to recognize where our true identity, where our purpose comes from the inside, not get hung up on that. So we just kind of perish. The outward man perishes. I mean, we can perish gracefully, but it's gonna change. You are going to have a few more wrinkles, a few more sags. Come on, things are going to happen. But you know what? It's okay. Come on, ladies, it's okay. We just need to be free to be us and be beautiful. We can be beautiful at 70 and 80 the same way that we think we are when we're 20 and 30. And so it's going to continue to perish. Because why? Because the Lord wants you to know that He's going to call you home. And home, being in the presence of the Lord in heaven, is far better. So it says here, and it tells you, if you work at that real hard and you put more emphasis on the outer thing than you do the inner man, you're going to end up losing heart. Because you're going to get in front of the mirror one day and you're going to say, I've been using $150 eye cream on my face for, and all this, it's supposed to prevent me from having wrinkles, and now you're going to lose heart. And if you lose heart, you faint. And if you faint, then your faith isn't secure. And if your faith isn't secure, you find yourself living outside of the connection with God. Come on, ladies. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say you're beautiful. Look at a different neighbor and say you're beautiful. So it says, so don't lose heart, even though the outward man, and then he tells you why. Listen, he tells you why you don't have to lose heart about this. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Woo! Come on, every day I'm getting more vibrant. Come on, every day I'm getting more refreshed. Come on, every day I'm revived, I'm alive. Come on, I'm flourishing. It's way better to live this way.
Yes, it is.
It's way better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to talk about how the things that we see in the natural are fleeting things, but the things that are on the inside are eternal. And so God is more interested in your inner beauty. And so what we need to be pursuing, even though we're instantly made beautiful, but what we should be pursuing is our revelation
yes.
of that beauty
yes.
and cultivating our
yes.
inward man.
Yes.
One thing I love about the Apostle Paul is that he understood that the significance of a Christian life was about the inward man. And so he spent most of his teachings coming from the Holy Spirit, coming from God himself, about the inner man, how to cultivate the inner man, how to strengthen the inner man, how to learn to live from the inner man, the heart, the spirit. Hallelujah. And so that's what our pursuit is, so that we can stop placing value or so much emphasis. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of yourself. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just telling you that how God sees this is if you're spending more time, there's even a scripture, I'm just going to bring it up because the Lord's going to make me. So, He's going to make me. I knew when I wrote it down, I put it at the, I didn't put it in the text. I'm like, I'm not going to, maybe that one won't come up. But it says, for bodily exercise profits a little. It does profit. So we're not saying that you shouldn't take care of your body, that you know, don't ever exercise. Although I would personally like if it just personally said don't exercise. But it does say that it profits a little. But it says that godliness is profitable for all things. And so what's going to live forever is your spirit. And so we have to cultivate this life on the inside and free ourselves up. You know, the world today is extremely focused on the body. It's not worship of the Creator. It's worship of the creation. So much emphasis on the body. And the world has defined what they think is the right body type. The size of it, the shape of it. That's all. It's all hogwash.
Yes.
Some of you and some of me, I could be in the best of shape. I could be at my premium weight. I could be, and I would never look like that. So again, we have to get our eyes off of that, not place emphasis on that. We have to make sure that we're spending more time culting a life with God. When you add it up, your time in the Bible. your time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That means praying. It means worshiping. It means connecting with the Spirit. Your time serving. Your time being in the assembly. Part of the life of God is that we have fellowship one with another. That we can't just say the life with God is about the Bible and the Spirit. It's about fellowship with one another. The church started and they continued in breaking bread and fellowship. And so you need to make sure that you're not spending so much time at the gym or so much time I have to prepare, so much time to get all my makeup on perfectly every single time that I can't do this or I can't do that. We can't let that become the emphasis, because then what happens, I want to say this to you. Let me read this scripture. This is such a powerful scripture. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. You need to recognize your inner beauty so that you can cultivate that. And it's a little more challenging because it's not seen per se. So again, we're not people. We're living by faith. We're living by the unseen rather than by our sight, what we see, hear, feel, touch. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 5 says this, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward." Now, I know that this is talking primarily to wives, but there's a lot of this. Sometimes it does not work this way. Everything that's said to a wife, you can't take in context of all of women. But some of this you can. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart and the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in the former times, the holy women who trusted God also adorned themselves." And then it goes on to say in verse 6, let me read verse 6. It says, "Whose daughters," talking about of Sarah, "you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." So first of all, I just want to say this. Having a quiet demeanor, a quiet and a gentle spirit does not mean a pansy. It does not mean somebody that's weak, that somebody that has no voice, somebody that just lays down and is a doormat. And it's not what it's talking about. It says there that they had no fear. You can see, if you go back to those women of the Bible, Sarah and them, they were lion-hearted women. Come on, they had some boldness. They had some courage. They had some strength about them. Hallelujah. But I want you to see that it's the hidden man. It's the hidden man that God is interested in. It's the part of us that people don't see. And so I wrote this down. If we're more concerned about what other people are seeing, or about what we're seeing rather than what God is seeing, we are enthralled with the wrong audience. You need to be honest about this. You're being too thrilled, overly concerned about the wrong audience. We are not, even with ourselves, we are not to be thrilling ourselves. We are to be thrilling God. We are to be pleasing to God. And so we shouldn't be letting other people, peers, groups, men, even your husband. We love our husband, but you don't love your husband over God. And your first priority is to love God properly. And so you're cultivating a heart and a relationship with God, because that's where your beauty comes from. Rather than trying to, and I'm sure we don't have any in here that do this, but I have known women where their men are very focused on the outward part, and then they put pressure and try to, we have to still love them and submit to them, but we never submit where it takes God out of the equation. And so you have to continue to do what's first with God and what's right with God, and then work some of the other stuff in. But we don't let people pressure us into getting too focused on this outward part, because the Bible says that the beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, and let me just define that for you. I wrote down here what that really means. A beautiful and a quiet spirit, why is precious in the sight of God, is really, that means that we're resting and we're trusting in and relying and putting all of our value in God. It's not talking about being quiet, like don't say something. Because if that was the case, then why would God have created us with different personalities?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay? Yeah, so the, all the loud people, we just said thank you. She was the only one bold enough to say thank you, but there's some of the rest of y'all inside are going, thank you, thank you, thank you. It reveals what it is, again, is that we're resting and trusting in God. And we're finding our value in God. We're putting our hope in God. We have peace. We're tranquility. We can walk at peace. And God honors that because peace is a flow of the kingdom. And so if we're continually stressed out and trying to put pressure about what we need to do this and how we need to do that on the outward thing, then we step outside of that peace. And it creates some conflict. And so really to be a quiet and a meek spirit or a humble spirit is what God is looking for. It's a quiet strength. The meekness and the quietness and the serenity. These are really hope-filled attitudes that we have from the inner man of a life with God. Hallelujah. And so this is what we're to be pursuing. This is what we're to be cultivating because this is how God describes beauty. And we know that it's already in us, but we want to make sure that we're believing it, that we're cultivating, that we're walking in it. So when you get up every morning and you're looking in the mirror, you're not looking at yourself like, oh no, the bad things. You're looking at yourself, I'm in the image of God and I'm beautiful. And today my spirit is being renewed. Hallelujah. Now I'm gonna put on my makeup. I'm gonna fix my hair just to make myself presentable to people as a respect to people. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to go out, but I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful on the inside. I'm God's creation. A woman who knows who Christ is within her will emanate the beauty of God because that's where true beauty comes from. I want you to put your hand on your heart and just say, I'm beautiful.